Meditation on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum. Welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us, because we're going to speak about how to be a better person in the new year.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, Ya Mubdi'a al-Akwan. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, Ya Mubdi'a al-Akwan. إليك قلبا يذوب حبا بالنور والإيمان. إليك قلبا يذوب حبا بالنور والإيمان. بالنور والإيمان.
يا ربي يا رحمن يا مبدع الأكوان. يا ربي يا رحمن يا مبدع الأكوان. إليك قلبا يذوب حبا بالنور والإيمان إليك قلبا يذوب حبا بالنور والإيمان.
Today, Saturday, is the 25th of Shaban, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of Isfan, 1401 of the Islamic Hijri calendar, and the 18th of March, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual on this program, we start with a verse from the Holy Quran and the important point of it. For today, we choose verse 30 of chapter Ar-Rum from the Holy Quran. We'll listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Fa'aqim wajhaka lid-din hanifa. Fitrata Allahi allati fatara an-nasa 'alayha la tabdila li khalqillah. ذلك الدين القيم ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون.
So direct your face toward the religion, inclining to truth. Adhere to the fitrah of Allah upon which He has created all people. No change should there be in the creation of Allah. That is the correct religion. But most of the people do not know.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Walking along the path of religion is walking along the path of nature. The man's natural affairs may decrease or increase, but they will never be abolished absolutely, and also the truth-seeking wishes, which are hidden inside of man, will not change by the change of place and time. The words here are about the natural monotheism. In other words, it pursues the same subject from the way of insight and innate observation and through necessary apprehension of conscience. We're going to enter the new year according to the solar Hijri calendar. So this part is about the new year resolution. Dear listeners, life is a never-ending process of self-improvement, as you know. You may concentrate on improving your education or climbing corporate ladder, but in the race to succeed, the concept of better can be lost in the midst of ambition and greed. As the year is coming to an end, you may want to embark on a journey to better your spirit and become a new version of yourself. Life can be whirlwind of responsibility and stress, but with the right focus, you can start becoming a better person and who you want to be.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, due to the arrival of the New Year holidays and the days that we have ahead, so it's the time for us to think and ponder on how to become a better person, at least in the upcoming New Year. What to do for our next year? How can we become a better person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't change us unless we decide to change. Everyone wants to become a better person, but some people just do not know how. That's why we need to be willing to change and put some thought and effort into the idea, because when there is a will, there is a way, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا عَطَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Seek the life to come using what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you, but do not neglect your rightful share in this world, the good to others, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done well to you. This is chapter 28, Surah Al-Qasas, verse 77. To become a better person, we should learn to notice ourselves and know how we behave in different situations. Then we'll know when to improve ourselves if we do something improperly and continue to do what we're doing right. This point is very important because we can't be a better person if we don't know what we should improve ourselves in, what we should improve ourselves in the first place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And those who strive for us, we will surely guide them to our ways. And indeed, Allah surely is with the good doers. Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 69.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Now let's look at how to be a better person. The first step is have the will to change. And the second one is stop making excuses. Now we go for the first one. Allah won't change you unless you decide to change. That's why you need to be willing to change and actually put some thought and effort into the idea, because when there is a will, there is a way, inshallah. Remember, I told you the second step is stop making excuses. You cannot expect to change if you keep making excuses for anything that goes wrong with you, because you won't see anything that needs to be changed with you that way. You should take accountability for your actions and take responsibilities for your decisions. You shouldn't blame anyone or anything for your mistakes. Instead, try to learn from your mistakes, which in turn will help you be a better person.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see, is thanks to you.
This is today's special, and positive, obtainable aspirations can give you something to thrive for. That's an interesting phrase. For starting this part, everyone needs something to live for, so think about what you want in life. Not only can striving for something make you a happier and better person, but it can also help you find your purpose. Use a pen and paper and write down the short and long-term goals you will like to achieve. Try asking yourself these questions to find and set an achievable goal. What are the questions? Is there a relationship in your life you want to improve? What causes or improvement are you passionate about? Is there a project you've been meaning to finish? Another question, what do you like to do in your free time? Making your goal to be a better person may be challenging to define and achieve. Instead, opt for small goals that can help you grow as an individual, like reading a nonfiction book, writing a short story, calling your mom every weekend, or helping someone in need every day, inshallah.
How can I condition myself to truly become pious, to be an observant servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And to demonstrate this method, we're going to borrow some examples from Hollywood. You know, Hollywood is the last place that comes to your mind when it comes to being righteous and pious. But I guess every aspect in this life, everything in life, has a lesson for us. One of the powerful methods in training yourself to become permanently observant and pious is acting. People who participate in plays, actors who participate in movies, will admit to you that their participation in that movie or that play really had an impact on their personality. To a large extent, it changed aspects of their personality. You see, in dramatic arts, we have what's called method acting, which uses various techniques to train the actors to achieve a better characterization of the characters they're playing. You want these actors to act professionally, to act genuinely. So there are some techniques in which they use. And some of these techniques involve training the actors to emotionally connect with that role which they're playing. It makes it very genuine. Let me give you an example. Imagine you have a movie producer, a film producer, and he wants someone to play the role of a shoe shiner. You know those shoe shiners, the boot polishers? Let's say you want someone for this role. A producer who wants a very good actor, who will genuinely act, will ask this actor to go out in the street for 2 weeks, for 1 month, and see how a shoe shiner lives. See how he thinks. What is his lifestyle? Go and befriend a shoe shiner and see what's their mentality. How do they view life? The idea of method acting in actually getting you to imitate someone and experience their feelings.
Dear listeners, that was all about this episode of today's special. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic another time. Till then, have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami, La fata illa Ali, Aliyun Imami, Aliyun Imami. علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and now we present you a statement from the Lord of the Age, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, who despite being in the state of occultation, keeps his wary eyes on the followers of the school of the Prophet's infallible Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. We are neither negligent of caring for you, nor forgetful of you. And if we were not for that, hardship would have befallen you, and the enemies would have massacred you. So fear God and support us.
Thank you.
Take pieces of bread from me. And your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about tawakkul and the etiquettes of tawakkul and trust in Allah. You know, trust in Allah is one of the most beautiful virtues of Islam. Many hadiths have been transmitted regarding the trust in Allah and the tawakkul in God. In the Holy Quran, we also read, the following regarding tawakkul. If Allah helps you, no one can overcome you. But if he forsakes you, who will help you after him? So, in Allah, let all the faithful put their trust. It's also been mentioned in the Holy Quran, say, nothing will befall us except what Allah has ordained for us. He is our master. And in Allah, let all the faithful put their trust. So trust is a very beautiful and a very important and pertinent virtue that all Muslims should adopt. But the question arises as to what exactly is the etiquettes of trust in Allah? How should it be carried out? Fortunately, we have an answer to this question in the form of this beautiful hadith, which we will recite for you today. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, a group from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when the verse, and whoever is wary of Allah, he shall make a way out for him, and provide for him from whence he does not reckon. When this verse was revealed and it descended, a group of the companions of the Prophet locked their doors and engaged themselves in worship, saying, we have been sufficed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam found out about this, meaning these people thought that if you trust in Allah, Allah will provide you with all you need, and you don't have to do anything. You know, you don't have to go outside and work, you don't have to go look for your sustenance and so on and so forth. You know, they misconstrued this verse to mean this, and they misinterpreted it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam found out about this. So he sent for them and said, what made you do what you were doing? They replied, O Messenger of Allah, our sustenance is being taken care of,
So we have occupied ourselves in worship. They said, you know, God is going to give us everything. He's told us about this in the Holy Quran. You know, in the simplicity of their hearts, you know, this is what they assumed it meant. So he said, whoever does this, his call will not be answered by Allah. If you do this and you pray to God, He won't answer you. You must rather seek out your livelihood. So from this hadith, we can gather that one of the etiquettes in trust in God is to actually work and to make an effort, a voluntary effort on your own part, and then leave the results and the outcomes of that effort in the hand of God to sort out. This is basically what this hadith wishes to state. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the etiquette of trust in Allah from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله محمد وجل.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are again with Brother Ali Nasir, Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Brother Hassan Nasrullah, and Brother Fawad Haider. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Everyone is fine? Fawad?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So, welcome, brothers. So, today, inshallah, we'll work on Ayah 20. 9 of Surah Ali Imran. قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. This ayah, inshallah, we'll talk about it a bit, okay, we'll explain. Then, inshallah, we'll move on with the tajweed rules, so we'll practice the recitation. Is everyone ready?
Yes.
Let's listen once to the recitation of this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul in tukhfu ma fi sudurikum aw tubduhu ya'lamuhu Allah wa ya'lamu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir.
Thank you so much to the reciter. Allah bless him, inshallah. Brothers and sisters who are listening to IRIB English Radio right now, please hold your Quran. Turn to page 53, ayah 29 of Surah Ali Imran. So, I will recite once, and inshallah you will listen and repeat. Okay, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir?
Yes.
Okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
قل إن تخفوا ما في صدوركم أو تبدوه يعلمه الله
قل إن تخفوا ما في صدوركم أو تبدوه يعلمه الله
ويعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض
ويعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض
والله على كل شيء قدير
والله على كل شيء قدير
أحسنت ما شاء الله Thank you so much Allah bless you inshallah قل إن تخفوه ما في صدوركم أو تبدوه يعلمه الله One of the attributes of Allah Almighty is this, that we should believe in Him and like believe in Him like He is the all-seeing, He is the all-knowing, okay? He has the all-knowledge, He is the all-seeing power, He has the all-sight. Now, listen to the translation of this ayah. Say, قُلْ, say, إِن تُخْفُوهُ, okay? مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ, whether you hide what is in your hearts or disclose it, يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ, Allah Almighty knows it. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and He knows whatever there is in the heavens and whatever there is in the earth. وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ And Allah has power over all things. That's the translation. Now, we'll explain it. One of the attributes of Allah Almighty, we said, is
Al-Aleem.
Yeah, the all-knowing. And also?
The all-seeing.
The all-seeing. The all-hearing. Okay, these are the attributes of Allah Almighty. So, because tawheed in sifat, tawheed in af'al, tawheed in asma, these all are types of tawheed. So tawheed in sifat. In sifat, we have this sifat, okay? As-sami' al-basir al-alim. We should believe in them. All right?
Yes.
So, now, in the previous ayah, we talked about it. لا يتخذ المؤمنون أو الكافرين أولياء. Sometimes, maybe, some people, okay, they are still having some relationships with kafirin. And they try to hide their relationships. Allah Almighty says, قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوهُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ If you're doing this and you're hiding your relationship, okay? And you don't want to know, you don't want anyone to know about your relationship with kuffar, okay? That you are making plots against the country. You're making plots against the Muslims, okay? And you think like nobody knows. Okay, nobody knows. It's okay, but Allah knows it. Allah knows it, okay? Sometimes, yeah, there are a lot of people, okay, who are plotting against the country, who are plotting against this, the Islam, okay, against our religion. They should be sure that Allah Almighty knows these things. Allah Almighty sees, okay? And in the previous ayah, وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرِ We'll go back to Allah Almighty. Make sure, okay? You'll be judged. Allah is fair, okay? وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ You will not be wronged. You will not be oppressed. If you deserve punishment, for sure He will do. Okay, you will be punished. That's all. He is kind, but when it comes to, like, you damage Islam, you try to damage Islam this way, Allah Almighty is not going to be quiet, okay? Yes. He is going to punish you. Okay, that's all. That's all we mentioned, inshallah. إِن تُخْفُوهُمَا فِي صُدُرِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ Okay, sometimes, God forbid, we have some kind of sense of hatred to someone. Let's say he's Muslim, okay? Maybe it's because of jealousy, it's because of... a problem with ourselves, okay? Like, useless or kind of bad excuses we have. Like, we're jealous about someone, we don't like him, okay? So this kind of jealousy, maybe we do not show it to someone, okay? Maybe we do not, like what? We do not, nobody knows about. It's in our hearts, okay? Some hatred. Maybe, God forbid, we are not so good in our beliefs, okay? Allah Almighty knows all these things, so try to be honest. Ourselves, okay. We should try to be honest with ourselves, because Allah knows everything, and of course, we ourselves as well know. Yes. Okay. Let's be honest.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, that was a short explanation. Hassan, if you wanted to learn more about this ayah, what should you do?
We should read the tafsir book,
inshallah. Refer to the tafsir books, inshallah. Like Tafsir Namuna, Tafsir Al-Bayan, Tafsir Majmu' al-Bayan, Tafsir Nur, Tafsir Al-Mizan, and the rest of the tafsir that, alhamdulillah, our ulama scholars have really made their efforts to provide these tafsir books, inshallah. So refer to them and learn more. Now we'll move on with the tajweed rules. We'll mention some of them and we'll, inshallah, finish this session. قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. Not very difficult ones, very easy ones. In the first one, نُن ساكين plus إخفى. تَ. إخفى. Very easy. Alhamdulillah, you know. In إخفى, you should hide the sound of نُن ساكين or the تنوين and produce a nasal sound. How you do? Hussein? إخفى. Apply the rule ikhfa in this word. Read it.
In tukhfu.
Ahsan. In tukhfu. In tukhfu. So, ma fi sudurikum aw tubduhu ya'lamhu Allah. Tubdu.
Qalqala.
Ali Nasir, how do you read it? Tubdu. Aw tubdu.
Aw tubdu.
Aw tubduhu. Yes. Ba produces an echoing sound. Tubduhu. It jumps a little bit. So, Fawad, next rule you should read. يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. The word Allah, the lam in the word Allah must be pronounced heavily. Allah, not Allah, no.
Yes.
So, يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ, because you have a dhamma sound before. If you have a dhamma sound, a fatha sound before the word Allah, the letter lam is pronounced with a heavy sound, Allah, full sound, Allah, full mouth. And if you have a kasra sound, like bismillah, you pronounce it with an a sound, light a sound. So, Fawad, read it. Ya'lamhu Allah.
Ya'lamhu Allah.
Ahsan. Still, you got a problem with this ayin. I don't know what's happening. Ya'lamhu Allah. Ya'lamhu Allah. Ya'lamhu Allah. Okay. Wa ya'lamu ma fis samawati. وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ فِي. We have mentioned this a lot. We don't repeat it.
Yes.
Just skip that فِي, the ya sound.
Yes.
فِي الْأَرْضِ أَرْضِ ضَاد. Hassan, read it. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ
وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ.
أحسن. أَرْضِ. Ra has a heavy sound. أَرْضِ. And last point. وَاللَّهُ على كل شيء قدير. In قدير is wrong. We should read it with إخفاء sound.
Yes.
إخفاء with heavy letter. شيء قدير. إن قدير. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's all the تجويد rules. قدير actually changes to سكون. قدير Ra has a light sound. So now Hussein, inshallah, will recite once this ayah. We'll all listen to him and then we'll end this session. Okay, Hussein?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن تخفوا ما في صدوركم أو تبدوه يعلمه الله
يعلمه الله أحسن
ويعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض
أحسن
والله على كل شيء قدير
أحسن كل شيء قدير. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for listening to IRIB English Radio. Up to now, thank you so much. We recommend you to stay with IRIB English Radio in the coming sessions. Inshallah, we'll again have our Quranic sessions tomorrow at the same time. See you, inshallah. Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, thank you so much for being with us. Is there any questions?
No.
Inshallah, the coming sessions will continue with the rest of the ayat. Thank you so much. Thanks to IRA English Radio. Thanks to Xavier International Schools for cooperation. So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. During this month of Sha'ban, the month of Almighty Allah's mercy and pleasure, we will try to offer a glance into some of the passages of the whispered prayer of Sha'baniyya, or the so-called Munajat Sha'baniyya. Thank you in advance for staying with us. We'll be back again after listening to some parts of it.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. إلهي لم يكن لي حول فأنتقل به عن معصيتك إلا في وقت أيقظتني لمحبتك وكما أردت أن أكون كنت فشكرتك بإدخالي في كرمك ولتطهير قلبي من أوساخ الغفلة عنك.
Brothers and sisters, we were discussing this excerpt of the whispered prayer of Sha'baniyya. إلهي لم يكن لي حول فأنتقل به عن معصيتك إلا في وقت أيقظتني لمحبتك. My Lord, I had no strength to desist from your disobedience except when you awakened me for your love. This concept of love is something that has been discussed upon in the previous episodes. One yet important aspect of this discussion remains. The point is that love manifests itself in two ways. At times, it manifests itself in the form of yearning, and at other times, in the form of intimacy.
Now, the point is that both of these states are descriptive of love, with the difference that the state of shawq and yearning occurs to the lover when he is away from the beloved, but the state of uns and intimacy occurs to the lover when he is in the presence of the beloved. Now, these two states occur to the heart of the person in relation to Allah the Exalted, and this is because Allah has two kinds of disclosures. Sometimes He is disclosing Himself for a person from a distance, and at times He does so from a close-up. The Holy Quran says, "Who is far and thus cannot be seen, but is close and thus witnesses secret conversations." This is the verse of the Holy Quran. So, if Allah discloses Himself to a person from a distance, the state of yearning occurs to him. And if He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, discloses Himself to him from close up, such that he feels himself in the presence of the beloved, in the presence of his master, as the Holy Quran says, "And he is with you wherever you may be," this is the state of intimacy that is occurring to the lover. So when the Holy Quran says, "We are nearer to him than his jugular veins," and when the Holy Quran says, "When my servants ask you about me, tell them, I am indeed near most," إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, this is the state of intimacy.
Alhamdulillah, we have been given the blessed opportunity of witnessing another month of Sha'ban, which is the month of Allah's mercy and pleasure. حَفَفْتَهُ بِالرَّحْمَةِ وَالرَّضْوَانِ. Allah has covered this month with His pleasure and mercy. I thought it might be good to have a little introduction to Munajat al-Sha'baniyya. The late Imam Khomeini, in many places on several occasions, emphasized on this Munajat, and in one of his sayings he said that there are many important mystical points that one can understand from the Quran and whispered prayers of Imams. And then in particular he mentioned Munajat al-Sha'baniyya, and he said philosophers, mystics may be able to understand some aspects of these whispered prayers, but if someone wants to really understand, must be a person who has himself achieved a high level of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that he can have a taste, he can have an experience of what he says. In another place, the late Imam Khomeini said something very important. He said, "This Munajat al-Sha'baniyya is one of the whispered prayers that if someone pays attention to it and follows it and reflects on it, he can reach somewhere. He can achieve some levels of perfection." We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us in this month of forgiveness and to be pleased with us in this month of pleasure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, our families, our community, all humanity with His pleasure, with His reward, with the coming of Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, with forgiveness, with being able to remain always on the right path.
In the supplication of Iftitah, dear listeners, which has reached us from Imam Hujjah al-Mahdi, there has appeared an accurate portrayal of the two states of love, the yearning or shawq and intimacy or uns states of love. All praise is due to Allah, whose curtains can never be opened and whose doors can never be locked. This is what we read in the supplication of Iftitah. No doubt, the one whose curtains can never be opened is the very one whose doors can never be closed. But it makes great difference in understanding Allah through this perception or that. Moreover, there are two kinds of veils and hijabs, the veil of darkness and the veil of light. Sometimes, what is preventing the human beings from seeing other things is because there is pitch dark out there, is because we have the intensity of the darkness. This is the veil of darkness that we see in the traditions or hijab al-dhulma. And sometimes what stops one from seeing through is the intensity of love, is the brilliance of love. As one cannot see the sun, not because of a barrier, but due to the intensity of its brilliance. And this is what we understand when the word hijab al-nur is mentioned. Now, the veils of darkness in relation of man with Allah are love of this world and materialistic issues, committing sins, and which sullies the heart. But at the same time, the veil of light within this relation is something different. This is the veil which, according to Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his advent, is in the supplication of Iftitah, the doors that can never be opened. It is this veil which stirs up yearning and longing in the hearts of the servants of the Almighty Allah. Now, the point is that the true servants of the Almighty Allah must be aware that their love of the Almighty Allah has these two sides. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان والعالم يقول لك احبك يا شعبان شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان والعالم يقول لك احبك يا شعبان يا شعبان يا شعبان
Every night and every day Every night and every day Never forget to say لا إله إلا الله Never forget to say لا إله إلا الله
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Kalam Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Ata, the host of this program. Our special guest speaker for today's discussion from the Islamic House of Qom is Brother Suhail. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Suhail. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the whiness of fasting for Muslims. And is it only a special deed and act only for Muslims? And I mean, fasting is only limited to Muslims or not?
Okay, so why do Muslims fast? Is there are many answers to it, but general answer would be that the Quran, the Lord has told us to fast. And why he has told us to fast are many reasons. One of it is that Ramadan, the word itself, has a root word which means to burn.
Yes, like Ramadan.
Okay. So because it means to burn in a sense that it burns everything. So here in a specific sense, it means burning your sins. You see, it's the month where you can burn your misdeeds mm-hmm. into good deeds and make sure that you ask for forgiveness, and it's very easily done. You can get it sorted.
That's right.
Yeah.
So burning your sins, burning your fats.
Calories.
Calories, that's right. Okay, it could be also the reason. But all in all, it is not a torture. It is a way through, we can say, perfection. So Ramadan and the holy months of Ramadan. So that's all right. So fasting is an order by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The quality of fasting is also very important. But is it only for Muslims? I mean, or not or other religions have fasting too?
In general sense, fasting is there for every religion. In specific sense, this kind of fasting can be found in Islam. Like the timing of fasting, why to fast, and the specific details of fasting is in Islam. But remaining fasting as a fast, you can find in many religions, whether it's a religion on polytheism or monotheism, whether you believe in one God like we have in Christianity, Judaism, and other religions, or, for example, like Hinduism, that is a religion of polytheism, they also have fast in them. The way of fasting, the time of fasting, and the methodology of fasting is different. For example, in Hinduism, we have fasting for where they say that you are not allowed to eat anything, but you're allowed to drink anything that you want, or like water or something you can drink. Yeah. In Christianity, they have fasting period for around 40 days. They might have a bit of a difference than the way we fast in Islam. But yeah, fasting in general sense is there in many religions. You can find it. People who approach fasting right now, in general sense, like the way we say wajib, you will find this only in Islam. While in other religions, you will find priests doing this fasting, or those who have reached some elevated state in their position in this church or temple. Those are the people who fast.
That's all right. How do you find the quality of fasting in Islam? I mean, Ramadan, for a whole 1 month, it is not with intervals between, or for example, how can I say, in a consecutive manner, okay? It is just one for whole month. From dawn to dusk, you have to be on fasting. You are not allowed to drink. You are not allowed to eat. You are not allowed to do... We can say the things that are forbidden and might violate, or is better say nullify, your fasting. So how do you find the quality of fasting in Islam? I mean, is it only not eating and drinking, or no, or not, for example, doing the forbidden acts? Can we call such a